Good morning. Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning.
Yeah. We'll just wait.
We'll just wait for a second.
Yes.
I'm going to pull up.
Do the things.
Do the thing. Put up the...
The admin.
Pin the comment. We're talking about yoga studio tea this morning.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. Workout is done.
Yes.
This time change is kicking my ass.
Is it really?
Yeah. Usually I'm like, yeah, get over it, but woo.
Wow. I actually haven't
you
really.
You with it?
I haven't nice. Noticed it really. So it was all right.
But I am loving the longer. Yeah.
Are we getting longer days? Is that?
It feels like it. So.
Okay.
Like I got off at 6 and it was dark, and now I get off at 6 and it's light. So.
Oh, nice. Perfect. Good morning. Hey,
good
Rick.
Good morning.
Morning, 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 morning. So Sunday, Lululemon Ooh, International Women's Day.
I was crying.
Oh, it was so good.
I she ain't even posted.
I know.
That's when you're immersed.
I was in it.
And I just knew. I was like, oh yeah, it's a wave.
It was. I was in it. I intended to live stream it.
Yeah.
And because someone was like, oh, they were bummed they couldn't come. I intended to live stream it so that y'all could just participate with me, with us. And I got in there and all that shit flew right out the window. I was like, yeah, it didn't even.
Okay.
I was like, let me get this Janae Aiko going in here because it getting a little vibe popping in here.
Yes.
And just try to get the ambiance and the mood set up. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
So it was an amazing event. I would say like probably close to like 40 women or so at least.
And where was it specifically?
It was inside of the mall.
Yeah.
In front of the Nordstrom's. So in that corridor.
This guy under the
on the other one.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was really awesome. It was a
beautiful.
They did a great job of just the setup, the rugs, and the ambiance. I mean, it was a beautiful experience. And then Neva,
I know it's good because you didn't even take no pictures.
I didn't take
so
no pictures.
That means you was in it.
Yeah, Neva and I did the sound healing comedic yoga.
Yes.
That was amazing. So we will be doing more of that. Neva and I want to get back to doing some sound healing yoga stuff together because it's such a vibe. It's such a great experience.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So powerful, so healing. So, yeah.
You looking good this morning, Miss Angel.
Oh, just because you know. I didn't have no bra on. Y'all know how that
goes. No peak show today? No,
man,
no peak show
last
today.
Week,
so, yes.
Last week, apparently, a titty popped out. During the live at some point.
Yes.
I went back and looked and it was true. So, hey, happy Wednesday. Aw, hey Sarah. I love Bree. Bree is awesome.
Yes, yes.
Happy to have you back this morning. So, yeah. So, I figured I should at least maybe put a bra on today.
So, we're going to do a bra today.
Yeah, we're going to do a bra today.
You know.
I love a good bralette.
We appreciate Shanila. Thank you.
Shanila, let us know.
She let
you
us know.
Free the tit. It's all good.
Yeah, we all folks up on here.
You know that's all it is. We family. So, how are you this morning?
I am good. Yeah, I know.
Are you?
No, yeah, good is, I'm trying to, you know.
Put into words.
Yeah. I am in transition. I'm in transition. So I'm not active. I'm not at a pause.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely listening.
Okay.
But I'm just in the stew. I put up some things in the stew is doing what it's doing right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not
Sometimes,
cooked yet.
No, not cooked at all.
Got you.
Not cooked at all.
Got you. So there's a little uncertainty right now.
Yes. But not uncertainty as much as, okay, I think we're going somewhere.
Got you.
I had put a couple of ingredients in the pot,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't too sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's starting to smell right.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yes.
Now it's starting to smell right. So I'm like, okay, I think, don't touch it.
Don't touch it. Just let it do what the fuck
don't,
it does.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to touch it. That's hard for Nicole.
Yeah.
That's hard for me.
Mm.
I want to touch it and,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to keep it like 100. I love like, you did that. I've always been one of those people. I love to help.
Mm-hmm.
So even, you know, as the universe is doing it for me, I like to put my hands in it.
Yeah.
And they are like, no.
So your job is done. Let us handle the rest.
Yeah, we got this.
We got this.
We're going to serve it up for you.
So requiring a little surrender of you, huh?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. There it is.
Nice.
There it is.
Love that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
So that's always, and that's just a place I think that we continue to come back to as human beings, having to go back to that place of surrender, you know, and letting go and letting be. All right. So this morning we are back to our back to basics. You can do it, put your back into it. I could do it, put my back into it.
Okay. Okay.
So, back to basics in relation to yoga.
Yes.
Yoga for beginners, beginner yoga, beginner yogis, beginner yoginis, all of the above. I wanted to take some time this month to take it back and to just talk about some of the very foundational basic things in relation to what you'll experience, what you should know.
Yeah.
Giving you the tea, the full cup of tea.
Yes.
In relation to, you know, what's happening on the yoga scene. So last week we talked about the science of yoga. So just some of the stuff in relation to like how your breath works, your nervous system, how your breath works with your nervous system. We even tapped into some of the comedic yoga, even though I wasn't really supposed to be giving all of that up until later this month, but I could help myself. I was fresh out the teacher training.
Yes, yes.
I was about that life. I'm still am, obviously.
We were blessed for it, like, because
it was a moment.
I think we all received
a lot. Yeah, we went part two on that one.
We did.
Wow, we had two. Yeah.
It was like, hold up.
Hold up.
Reset.
Come on back.
Mm-hmm. Come back.
So that was great. So this week we are talking about yoga studios, which.
Okay. I feel you got something for us.
Oh, I do. Definitely. So we didn't get a chance to take Nicole yet to her yoga class, but it will happen.
It will happen.
So I want you guys to. Let me know about any experiences that you've had in yoga studios, particularly as women of color, or things that you've noticed or observed as a beginner coming into a studio, any questions that you might have about yoga studios. I'm really curious to know. Hey, Jennifer, comment ça va? Bonjour. So we are going to kind of dive into that. I don't really have a structured framework for today, so we're just going to kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
It's
a great conversation because we do need to make sure people feel like at least they've had the conversation.
Yes.
Because it can be, what I've understood, you can be taken aback.
Yeah.
If you have no context.
Yes. So let me ask you this, and then we'll kind of play back and forth.
Yeah.
When you think yoga studio, what comes to
We can't even look at each other. I've been around Afro yoga, like, even though Nicole does not do, but prior to.
Do you like speaking in the third person?
You know what? You have pointed that out to me prior.
That's so interesting.
I'm going to have to write that down. That's something I'm going to have to.
Okay. We're going to see what it is.
We're going to have to. Talk about it before I go to sleep so I can get some type of
You're going to talk with Nicole about it?
I'm going to have Nicole.
Let you know what's really good?
Yes.
Okay.
So when I think of yoga studio, yeah. I think of a bunch of white women.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I really, really do.
And
you
why?
Changed
why?
That for me, but prior to you. And I don't know if I've said it. The way I found Angie is I moved to Sacramento and I specifically looked for yoga and women of color, people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the Bay Area and we have yoga in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an Afro yoga. So I Googled Afro yoga, Sacramento, and boom.
Boom.
That's you. It's all you. That's all we got was the hits were all Afro yoga.
Wow.
Because prior to that, my concept was yoga was white women teaching and white women attending classes.
What gave you that impression?
Every news article, everything you see on commercials, when you go to the magazines, it's not women of color on the covers.
Mm-hmm. It's very white. So this is the first issue, is that women of color do not feel yoga is for them because they are not represented by and large on a multitude of levels, on a variety, in a variety of spaces. So the magazines, the media, the TV, the studios, right? The ownership, the patrons, the staff, all hella white. So how could we possibly think mm-hmm. that the practice is for us?
Or that we would feel comfortable there.
Or that we would feel comfortable there, which is definitely something that we're going to get into. So this is one of the reasons that I started Afro Yoga, because I felt that we weren't being invited to come to these spaces and to show up in these spaces, and that we were not being properly represented in these spaces. So I took it upon myself to say, fuck that. We're going to make our own. You know, I'm FUBU for life. So come on down to the park and let's get this yoga in, right? I just put out a Facebook post.
I'll meet you in the park.
Come through to the park.
Remember that? Girl. In the park after dark. We gonna do it in the park.
Wow. I'm not gonna address that.
Oh, sorry.
Right now.
That's a different.
That's another conversation.
That's another. That's not yoga.
Union. I mean, it kind of is. Anyway, okay, let's shift. Yes. So, you know, 60 women, I tell the story all the time, 60 women showed up to the class that day.
And boom, so, off one post.
One Facebook event.
60 women showed up.
Over 200 had RSVP'd. It was wild. I was like, what is happening right now? And I was like, oh, snap. And I made my little $150, you know, off of donations. And I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Hold up. Hold on. Because they've been paying me $20. At the studio. So I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So that said, it was actually at Southside Park. Southside Park is where we had it. But yeah, William Land would be a great place to do that. But anyway, so what I learned that day was that women of color just needed the invitation and the representation, right? So the flyer was a piece of art that I grabbed. I can't remember the name of the woman at the moment. And it had like a woman in an afro. And it was just, she was sitting in kind of like a meditative position. It was real cute. Mm-hmm. And it attracted people, you know. And so we just need to feel genuinely invited.
And represented in order
to show up. And then we show up, right?
And then we show up.
So... women cried that day. There was a lot of emotion for many women there who also maybe practiced yoga in the past. There was some teachers there who had showed up. And to be able to be in that big field of grass, looking around and seeing nothing but melanin and braids and afros and straight hair and all kinds of shit, right? Everything that we rock because we're just amazing and beautiful in anything mm-hmm. that we do, to be able to look around a room and just see yourself,
woo,
see your aunt, see your mom, see your friend, see your sister, see your daughter. People brought their kids. You know what I'm saying? It was a fucking family affair.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. I'll never forget that day. You know, my mom actually was in town at that time. So she was there, beautiful, which was really cool. You know, she tapped out after like 5 minutes because my mom, you know, but anyway, she was like, I don't know about all this up and down, but anyway,
I'm with you, mom.
Yeah. If it was the comedic yoga, she would have definitely, hey boo, Deanna, good to see you. Yeah. Genuinely is the key word, you know, like we need to be genuinely, sincerely, authentically, intentionally invited.
Mm-hmm.
And even better when it's for us by us. Right. So I learned that day how powerful that experience was and how much this was needed. And here's the other piece. As Black women, women of color, because I'm Spanish and Black, we don't often, it's not as often that we have, and you tell me what you think about this, don't have experiences that bring us together that are around wellness and positivity.
Correct.
Facts or no?
That is it. Wellness and positivity. Yeah.
How many of your life experiences as a Black woman have been gathering in the name of that?
As just a sole group of women of color? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, growing up, I loved a good, like, I grew up in church, so I loved a good retreat. Mm-hmm. I've always loved retreats. But it wasn't until I became an adult and I had to seek them out. Mm. Sometimes you got to leave, you know, you have to leave where you're at. You have to plan for it. You got to save for it just to go have a weekend with a group of women that look like you and sound like you. Straight up. So, yes.
Where you can actually be yourself.
I agree.
And that there's not worried about, like, judgment or, like, somebody talking shit about you behind your back and, you know, all of that negativity that sometimes comes from those spaces. What we got?
Okay.
Let's read it out loud.
Yes, I've had the issue of working with a Black yoga modality and a Black studio, but never being allowed to be just us because of the perspective of yoga as a business. Mm. It's like we want Black practitioners. Oh, I get that. I feel that.
But not to curate Black spaces for yoga. All good energetics. Yo, I tell you what, me and Ja'Kai were having a piece of this conversation earlier. So there's a notion, right, that there's not money in the Black community.
Yes. Come on. We're going to tell it. We're talking about it today.
We're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
But we can buy Louboutins. We can put rims on our car. Mm-hmm. We can spend our whole tax check on fucking Jordans and clothes and whatever the fuck. But we can't invest in each other. This is a huge issue. And particularly for Black women and women of color, not having, and I'm going to use Ja'Kai's words, exercise their wallet in the ways of investing in themselves.
Mm. You know? Exercise their wallets.
That's a totally different mindset. Yes, we have not been taught to invest in ourselves, to invest in our health and well-being, to invest in ourselves financially, right? Like, whether that means, like, getting a course, you know, joining a course or buying materials from someone that can teach us something.
Yeah.
We're not primed because that hasn't been our lived experience, right? Mm-hmm. We've been in the survival mode for so long that to even think about spending money on something like that would feel frivolous, or just like not even in the realm of like, this is just not how we operate. Right. So
exposure,
a whole new mindset. So when I hear stuff like that, of like Black spaces not wanting to curate Black only experiences, to me, that says, I don't want to alienate my white participants. So it's still centering white people. And then the other piece of that is also, are you saying in some way that you feel like you're not going to get enough business from the Black community if you create a Black-only experience? And that, to me, is an issue. Okay, let's go back and see somebody's comments because I'm spilling it today. It's the difference between a studio or a shala temple. Let's see, Cause Arena. That is why I'm looking at the Mexico retreat. I was the only Black woman at my last yoga class, and I want to share the yoga experience with my daughter in a space that is conducive to healing. Let me tell you.
Yes.
And that's the thing about it is, for me, I never say Afro yoga is only for Black women. Yeah. I say we are centering women of color in my spaces, on my platform. Anything I talk about is going to center women of color. The retreats, women of color only, period. Because I know that that is a space that we need for ourselves in order to truly, truly heal. To truly be able to be completely ourselves without feeling on guard in any way, shape, or form. And that to me is a sacred space and incredibly important. And why the retreats are always women of color, absolutely only. It's super, super important to me.
Very important. Because where else do you get that opportunity?
Period.
So I love Angie because you're unapologetic about it because you're very aware that in your daily 24/7, 365, you don't get it. So come get it.
Yes. None of us are getting it.
None of us get it. So come get that here. Mm-hmm. Come get that safe place. Because even if you grow up, you know, in historically Black neighborhoods or you had that, you know, Black college experience, what you said was conducive to healing.
Right.
And what you started about is spaces around wellness.
Absolutely. And so these places are lacking. And so we're seeing these movements pop up all over, right? On social media. Yes. You're seeing these movements pop you up are. Everywhere. Like, it's very evident that this is a direction that people want to move into. And so where can you find that space in order to really be able to ease, to bring your shoulders up off of your ears, you know what I'm saying? And to be able to immerse yourself. Because here's the thing, when you're walking, quote unquote, walking into a yoga studio and going to take a yoga class, the goal for you in that space is to be able to let something go, right? You're here to release something. You're here to take stress off. You're here to breathe through some shit. You're here to work your body out. You got some stuff you've been holding on to. A lot of us walk into a yoga class because there's something that we're needing out of that class, right? Like we're showing up because we need self-care. We're showing up because we need to de-stress. We're showing up because something difficult is going on in our lives and we need a space where we can just not think about any of that and just let go.
Yoga is not haphazard. It's very intentional.
It's not by accident.
This is not something you're like, oh, I think I'll just go to a yoga class today. You're coming
maybe for white people, but anyway, that's another story. So basically,
y'all gonna get it
when
today.
Y'all gonna get it today. Because I'm fired up about the shit that happened yesterday.
Okay.
So going into then an all white space, right, or a mostly white space, or rather just a space that's not very inclusive or representative of POC, how can you go in there and let something go when you still have to be guarded? Right. So from your experience with the front desk person who may be asking you microaggressive type of questions, like, have you ever been here before? You know, like, not have you ever been here before, but you know how you can just feel some of those underlying tones. A lot of women have told me that they walk into a class and the teacher will automatically put blocks in front of them as if they.
What does that mean?
Like, you're going to need extra help.
Okay. Okay. Oh.
So assuming that I don't practice yoga, assuming that I don't have the skills or that I need, that I'm going to need help. So you're going to give me blocks to assist me.
Okay.
There's all kinds of stuff that happens. And so, how can we then, as women of color, as people of color, go into these spaces to release the stress that we're dealing with on a daily basis just by being people of color? Mm-hmm. That's baseline. Then whatever else happens on top of that is extra, right? How can we go into these spaces and really let go and really heal when we still have to be guarded?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if we take a long perspective.
Let's take a look.
If we take a long perspective, the reality is we've been doing it for years.
Mm.
So on one level, we're already conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
To go into spaces
and
that
be guarded.
Don't direct us and be guarded and still get try to get something out of it.
Mm.
We're doing it every day on jobs. You're doing it when you're showing up at the school district meeting.
Damn.
You're doing it when you go to the bank. So our survival mechanism on some level, we are already geared to not be represented.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of people. I was the only black girl on my basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
High school and college.
Mm.
So for me, did that mean I didn't enjoy playing basketball as
right.
much? Of course not. I love basketball. And there's something about when you get on a court and you get a synergy going or you're in a class and you can feel the direction of a class and you're going to get what you need out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to lose that in this conversation.
Yeah.
I definitely, because
there's still benefit to it for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying I should have stopped playing basketball because I was the only black girl on the team. Not going to happen.
Right.
So I don't want us to lose that and to
Good
understand
point.
That it's actually a strength that we have.
Yes.
It's not something we appreciate. It's not something we want to propagate or further go along with. We are here to disrupt and change and make our own.
Diverse, right.
But we also have that ability to do it.
Yes, we do. But I think the point that I'm driving is how much more impactful would it have been?
Oh, but it's like you said. I don't know if you were expecting people to show up that first day. 200 RSVPs, 60 women showed up. And the emotion
mm-hmm.
of it. So you've had a very visceral, real experience of what it looks like
mm-hmm.
when it's intended for
mm-hmm.
and represented by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know it's a whole...
It's a whole nother thing.
And that's what we want to put
And that's
the
what
we're
talking
on.
About right
that's
now.
That's what we're talking
but
about.
But no, I love that you said that. That's a great point. I'm still going to get what I need to get out of it.
Oh,
but
yes.
I would have gotten so much more.
Yeah.
I feel like if I think about myself flowing in a yoga class, okay, yeah, I get what I want, but it's a very sort of isolated experience. Which your yoga practice is still an individual experience, even though it's done in a group.
Yeah.
But had I been in a room full of women of color listening to music that I listen to,
there you go.
I would have gotten so much more out of it.
Totally. Totally agree.
All right.
Or you wouldn't have been triggered when you walked in the door and had to fight, you know, oh, let that go. Or
exactly. Somebody
that you're bumping into, oh, let that go.
You
gotta
let shit go before you even get to the point where you can really let shit go.
No, I agree.
Okay, Espionage says, even women of color gets dicey. I'm an Afro-Latina and there's a lot of Latinas that don't, girl, that don't know they are white and identify as POC. Nothing wrong with centering black folk because we are always excluded. Girl, I am Afro-Latina too. And let me tell you, the struggle is still real because also your Latino counterparts don't understand the black struggle. Like I have these conversations with my brother sometimes because my brother is full-blooded Spanish. Really immersed more in Mexican culture Southern California, San Diego. You met him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look black, right? Like people will ask me what I'm mixed with, but that because I've been perceived as black, that's the role that I have had to take on. And my Latina side gets pushed to the side because I also don't have an accent, even though I speak fluent Spanish. So that part of my identity is invisible to most people. Mm-hmm. What's visible is my black identity. And that's what I've had to move forward with. So it has been very interesting, but the reality is that Latino people don't understand the black struggle in a lot of cases, and a lot of Latinos are white passing, and so they have a different experience a lot of the times than we do. So it's difficult to reconcile that. So I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. And creating a safe environment for healing is key. I agree. All Good Energetic said it reinforces that we have to be strong and resistant even when trying to heal. It's freaking constipating.
that's the truth of the matter. Because
that is.
Even, yes, I'm playing basketball and I'm enjoying myself, but you're the only.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like I didn't hear comments. Like when we went to Texas, it was horrible. Or when we traveled. God. And then you don't feel safe at the end of the day. You know, when you walk in, even if you go with another girlfriend, when you walk in, at least y'all got each other.
Right.
You make that eye contact like, did she just?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have somebody who affirms you.
Right.
When you don't have that, I just want to acknowledge it's not that it's doable. It's not that it's enjoyable. But, you know, how can we? Because we've had to. But, you know, what we want to do and what we're doing is creating, you know, there's so many options now. It's amazing what's happening now.
It is amazing what's happening because as per usual, we make something out of nothing and we create shit where it's not been created and where it hasn't been created. So that's just what we do. That's the magic of us, right? To always be resilient, to always find a way, to always continue to create spaces and things for us because no one else is fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Been doing it. So this is light work. You know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, very necessary work. And still these conversations about studios, etc., need to be had because these are some of the realities that come with wanting to participate in wellness and having to do it sometimes just on the terms of what's available and not necessarily we would ideally like.
Yes.
Which is why to me, Afro yoga is so critical and so important because this is not a game for me. This is life for me. And this is about culture shift. This is about creating opportunities. This is about collective and individual healing. This to me, this work is a responsibility. This is not just a business or a brand. This is a responsibility.
Mm.
So I don't take it lightly. So when y'all say, oh my God, you're putting out so much content and you're on top of it. Of course, because my engine is rev because I'm doing this for us.
And I'm hearing, as a person who hasn't been in it, when I hear you talk, what I'm also hearing is that your distinction of yoga and healing is so intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And the business, it's not business as much as it is for you a transformative experience. So even that, I think, even if you had a black yoga studio, I still don't think they might be on the level that you're talking. Because you're really, really speaking about healing and inclusion. And some people are really into the business of yoga.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So there's definitely
It's not.
You're really getting I'm in to, it. Yeah, you're really getting to it. Even just outside of the business of yoga, you're talking about wellness. You're talking mm-hmm. about a holistic. What are you going to get out of this? You're talking about releasing things.
Yes.
Some people really are just going in to stretch. Some people really are just going in to be physical.
And you know what? And that's fine. But I don't want to get it confused in understanding that that is not the true yoga. You're exercising. You're not practicing yoga. You're exercising. Let's not get it twisted. We've talked about it many times. Yoga means union. Yoga is about connection with self. If you in there stretching, but you don't walk out a different person.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the point?
And see, that's like, you are just transcending color. To me, when I hear you talk, you're transcending color, culture, practice. You're talking about,
hey. I'm talking about spiritual transformation.
You are.
Yes. And that doesn't have a color. However, I'm out here to give it to us.
Yes.
Period. Let's not get that confused either. Okay. So, all good energetics. Have y'all ever had a white yoga classmate to imply to you for a culture pass? Like how they yoga white people always got a dreadlock face. Hold on. Have y'all ever had a white yoga classmate try to imply to you for a culture pass? Like how the yoga white people always got a dreadlock face. Expand on that a little bit, because I'm not 100% sure what you mean. Kazarina says, thanks for having the courage to be the voice and say what needs to be said to facilitate this healing. Much appreciation. You know I'm going to tell it.
You know it.
Deanna says, you're so right, Nicole, giving the people results. Absolutely. Like, I'm going to say what needs to be said. Always.
Because it needs to be said. I mean, at the end of the day, it ain't for us. I mean, at the end of the day, it hasn't been for us. They look for ways to include, but not too much.
Oh, so, they're making noise. We better.
Yeah. Oh, we don't want to get called out. You know, is it inclusion or is it reactionary protective measures? which is it? Are you genuinely including me, or do you want to avoid looking like
an ass?
There you go.
Do you want to avoid looking like the racist that you probably are?
Because when we talk about you, we went through the namas and niyamas, and we're talking about a level of awareness.
Yes, we are.
And a lot of people have not had to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I love Jakaya saying exercising your wallet, because that means there's a level of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of awareness.
Mad awareness. Yeah. Deanna says, we are the ones that have had to take accountability for our own life and voice. I've noticed I've had a wound to not take up space. Absolutely. That's why our very first Afro Yoga gatherings was called Taking Up Space. Unapologetically. We out here. That's, you know, that's why I changed my little first line in the bio. We out here and we're taking up space.
Yeah.
And we're doing it our own way. At least for me and with Afro Yoga and what I'm doing. I'm taking up space. I'm doing it for us. I'm unapologetic about it, and I will continue to do so. And I will continue to be unapologetic. And you can either get on board or you cannot. Because I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing for us.
For sure.
Period.
For sure. And people are going to keep showing up.
Yes, they are. You better come get this, Dylan.
They keep showing up. I mean, just your set, even your playlist.
Oh, the playlist is too lit.
I remember the first time observing your class and the playlist, and I was like, I didn't even know. This is how ingrained my little mind was.
Tell me.
Didn't even know we can get loose like that.
Yes, you
can. I didn't even know we could. Wow, it was liberating.
Yes, you know what? I'll tell
you. Playlist was liberating.
I'll tell you a story. A quick story. I did a workshop for Safe Black Space, a nonprofit in the community that does work for us, and they asked me to come do a yoga workshop. Now, the women were relatively older Black women, okay, like 40s, 50s, something like that. The class I taught was in a living room space. We were indoors because the grass got wet. And the Shavasana, so the very last, the last pose, also called mummy pose, also called Sahu pose, if we talk in Kemetic, which we are. And
after that, nothing was the same.
Nothing was. We need to make a meeting.
I am feeling you. I'll tell y'all after this Kemetic Trady, nothing was the same.
What's up, Tara? We getting into it.
Okay, so you're in the living room.
So we're in the living room. So the, you know, I'm old school. Like, I might be young, but I got an old fucking soul. And so in the last pose, where we're in mummy pose, we're laying down, you know, it's your last pose. I played Miles Davis, Blue and Green. And at the end, when we reflected, a woman said, I get now why it's called Afro Yoga. I now understand. That level of connection, because, you know, we're musical people.
We are.
Right? Music, and music is healing.
Yes.
And music has been our healer for a long time.
Yes.
So to be, this is a huge part of Afro Yoga. I spend my time curating the playlist.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so important to me.
Yes.
That you are able to connect through the music for a greater healing experience. Do you hear me? It's important. So that's all part of it. And you're not going, you out here listening to Neil Diamond at these yoga studios, okay? It's Taylor Swift, Neil Diamond.
Woo! Not for us.
And not saying that any of that music is not cool or you can't listen to it. I'll fuck with a heart of gold, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same connection point.
We don't connect to any of it. You know, you put on It's a Family Affair, it's a wrap.
It's a... Let's get it. Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
That's my, we all,
it helps you, it allows you to feel seen.
And it allows you to release, like you were saying.
Yes.
You, it allows you to release.
I'm understood here.
The brain goes, oh, that's familiar.
Yes.
And your brain loves familiarity. You get familiarity, it says, oh, we're in a safe place.
Yep.
So if you are constantly, every song you don't know, every song you trying to find the rhythm and this and that, you trying to catch it. Oh, okay. Every song, your brain is working.
Period.
It's
poo.
Not releasing.
Yoga studios seem to be a site for cultural misappropriation. A site, she said. I felt like they would come into class and be like, you're black, look at my locks and Akon tattoos. Like, no, sis, I'm not interested. Girl, you said it. Don't.
It's real.
This is the same shit Ja'Kai was talking about on her stories yesterday. Real. Don't come at me with your marketing copy talking about sis and the struggle is real. What fucking struggle are you talking about?
It's not our struggle.
I'll wait.
It's definitely not.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop. No, we are not the same. We are not the same. Our experiences are not the same. So don't come at me with some half-ass. Me and Kadeem were, me and my boyfriend were walking through the Natural Foods Co-op the other day. And he has, you know, he has locks. He's tall, dark skin. He has locks. And we're walking through and this white dude turns around and says, have you heard Dead Prez something something? Like some song. He was like, they're, you know, like conscious rappers.
Oh.
I was just like,
oh, ooh.
I mean, his hair was in the wind with that spin. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh,
sorry, y'all.
I thought I put it on Do Not
I was like, what the fuck? But it wasn't ill intended or anything. But
come
it was
on.
Just one of those
unpack
moments
it.
Where it was like,
unpack it.
Here's a black person. I'm going to tell them about this black conscious rapper. Like, what are you trying to do with that? Are you trying to let us know that you are with the shits? Like, what are you, what happened there that you felt the need? Like, would you tell that to a white person passing by?
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I don't understand. Like, that kind of stuff boggles my mind a little bit.
How did Kadeem take it?
He was chill. He was just like, oh.
I love
who?
Men.
Who?
I like to. I love men.
He was like, who? And then he was like, oh, what's the name? And he was like writing it down in his phone. I was like, Kadeem loves music. So, you
I
know,
was going to say, so he really was on some like
he was
music
a,
head.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They were on some music head, but I was just.
But for you, it was like, if it was a white person, would you have. Did you say that to anybody else walking down this aisle?
Period. And that's my thing, is don't go over the top of the edge to tell me some to like share something like that with me when you wouldn't just do that with someone else. Like, I just don't, that doesn't feel, it feels weird for me. It feels very weird for me. Okay, let's see who else is talking about it. Tara says, love it. And Truth, you do old soul radiance. And yes, with that blues music on your playlist. You already know. Music is therapeutic. Yes, yes, yes. On every, or every song, wondering if this is the one they doing the get out, the get out spell with. I can't do it with you, boo. No. Oh my God, I'm weak. Yeah, you know, it can be triggering. It can be triggering because you're just like,
It can be.
You know, like, and that just, it's one of those moments where you have specific, even if they didn't intend it in the wrong way, you've been treated differently because of your race. Not saying that it's negative necessarily, but we were treated differently because of our race in that very moment.
So,
and I don't like that. I feel like that's, I don't like that. Like, yeah. If would have been different if I'm having a conversation with you.
But he just saw tall, black, dress. Oh, you must be conscious.
You're in the co-op.
Because, you know, the co-op is a very
natural foods place, you know, yes.
Place. Conscious.
Conscious.
Aware.
Yeah.
And so he sees somebody who maybe we're similar. Yeah. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
I don't think
he meant it in a wrong way. Yeah. It didn't feel malicious or bad or anything like that. But it was one of those moments where I just, it's one of those moments that just made me think.
And so can we transition that to the cis comment? The cis in the marketing.
Mm. Well, I think it's a little bit different there because, so if you don't know, Jakiya Traveling Fro, my work wife, whom I love, called a very prominent figure on social media, Jenna Kutcher, out for her marketing copy. And the marketing copy said, hey, Shanila, hey, sis. It was marketing copy. She works with brands and branding and, you know, sales funnels and all this type of stuff. And the copy said, hey, sis, something, something, something. The struggle is real, blah, blah, blah. And Jakiya has been talking to me and has been explaining that she's been seeing this, hey, sis, and these co-opting of our terms that white people are using with, I would guess, their prominently white audience.
Okay.
To, like, either sound cooler or to use it as a prop for their marketing sales, to sound like they're, you know, and... So the issue was something a little bit different because that's just co-opting culture for personal gain. Because, and so there was a whole lot of stuff that happened subsequently, right? A conversation that happened. Jakiya called it out, talked about why it's so important that these things stop. And this woman basically was all in the DMs with Jakiya. I had reposted it. She got in the DMs with me. Talking about, yes, we're imperfect and, you know, this is work that needs to be done, but didn't post not one single thing on her stories or anything on her social media about it at all. This is a person with close to 1 million followers. So you mean to tell me that you're so willing to do the work behind closed doors, but you can't even post a story or even screenshot somebody like Jakiya or myself and highlight and say, hey, these are amazing women doing work, like, go follow. You're not really about this work. You're about saving face and you're about saving your brand. And so this is the same thing that happens in yoga studios. Similar. I'll give you a prime motherfucking example.
Mm-hmm.
Just a block from my house, literally a 3-minute walk. Same place I got certified to teach yoga. The place is called Soul Fire Yoga.
Okay.
Two white women running it. Host a hip hop yoga class led by a white woman. Okay. Now,
I'm sweating, y'all.
The issue that we had was there was no reference made to origin of the music. Like, I think it's important when white people are using our culture that they credit. Right? Okay. Because the cultural appropriation really more so is about taking something without paying homage without
citing the source.
Exactly. It's just like plagiarism. It's just like you have a bibliography, right?
Yes. Cite the source.
Cite the source. Period. And we know that rap is born out of the struggle of Black people.
Yeah.
Period. Political oppression, police brutality. This is hip hop 101, right? Mm-hmm. Making something out of nothing, making it out of the hood into something better, bringing people with you. This is a nothing to something is hip hop 101. It's representative of the culture. So when now you'd say, I'm going to go teach a rap yoga class led by a white girl with shirts that say straight out of yoga.
Okay.
That's a problem. And you're profiting off of this with people who are going to attend your class that 90% of the people in that room are going to be white. When you get called out about it, because they got called out about it, Black Lives Matter protested in front of the studio. They had a demonstration in one of their classes where a group called Surge, it's like white allies that are supporting us, went in and laid down in the yoga class the whole time. It was a whole scene, y'all. It was a whole scene. My thing is stop. What? Just stop co-opting the culture, dude. Just please stop.
Just stop.
And if you're gonna do it responsibly. Ask somebody for their opinion. Ask your, because I talked to some of the teachers there who were Black and asked them, did they ask you guys about this at all? Did anybody approach you? No.
Oh, so there were Black.
So there's Black teachers there that teach at the studio, and no one was asked their opinion that I know of. No one was asked their opinion about it. Like, to me, if I'm a white studio owner and something like this flares up, the first people I'm going to are the people on my staff to say, "Hey, this is what happened. What are your thoughts or feelings about this? Did we misstep? You know,
how's this going to be received?"
Something. Where are your checks and balances? Since then, they also tried to run a fucking reggae yoga class talking about flow for redemption. Bruh, I didn't even see this because I think it got taken down before anything really flared up. But a white passing woman who worked there called them out about it, who's a friend of mine. But I'm thinking to myself, flow for redemption? Are you out of your, led by a white man, are you out of your fucking mind? Do you know, like, do you understand the type of political oppression and shit that poverty and real struggle that people like Bob Marley went through to that fueled those songs and what those songs mean to that culture and to the world who understands that struggle? And you want to just lightly put it out there like, come flow for redemption. Are you out of your fucking mind? And this just goes to show how unaware. Same studio a year later. Lack of accountability, won't take accountability. Why? Because they don't want their pockets to suffer. Because they're unwilling to do the work. There are studios in Sacramento who have been asked about doing racial justice work who have declined.
Don't want to get them.
Prominent studios, mostly white studios, definitely white owned, elitist, charging $20-something for a drop in. Don't want to talk about race. We have to talk about race in studio spaces. We have to. This is part of the work. And if you are a studio owner and you're not doing something to create more diversity and inclusion beyond just looking for people of color to hire at your studio and to slap on your flyers, you're doing a great disservice to the community. And you're not doing wellness. You're running a business. And that's all you're doing.
Where y'all at?
Just saying. Y'all feel me or what? Throw up some hearts if y'all feel me, because I need to know. Jennifer says, my teacher said to me, why you want to create a space for POC? This is Jennifer. She lives in Marseille, France. She was one of my mentees. You do the opposite of yoga. Yoga is the union, universality, blah, blah, blah. Universality. Yes, there is this sense that because we're creating our own spaces, we're somehow promoting segregation or division. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have to do that shit if it was already inclusive and diverse.
Boom.
Period.
Next.
All Good Energetic says abuse of cultural power, which is antithetical to union. Come on with it. The studio is on my avoid, like the plague list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? And rightfully so. And I this is why I'm creating the residency program.
Yes. Yes. See?
Solutions, right? Yes. So not saying, not, these are just things I want you to be aware of so that when you go into a studio space, you know what the fuck is up and you know what is living there, right? And what is likely for you to be exposed to, so you can be aware and so you can just know, this is what's happening here and I'm going to go get what I need to get out of it and then I can dip or whatever. But this place is not really set up to, at least in most studios, there are very few Black owned or Black studios that really, really are supporting us, right? So this is why I created the residency program.
Yes.
The residency program is a quarterly program that will rotate venues. And for that quarter, we will have POC wellness instructors of all kinds leading community classes. Community classes meaning donation-based classes, anywhere from nutrition to mental wellness to yoga to dance, you name it, for us, by us.
Love it.
I'm working on getting grant money to make sure that we're paid well, because the next thing is teaching in a studio. $20-$25, what am I going to do with that? Do you know how much time
that goes into?
That's another story.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and one of the reasons why I knew I never wanted to teach at a yoga studio, amongst these other things I've already told you. But it's important to me that we have a space for us, and that is what I'm creating with the residency program, so that we can come into a space where we feel good. We can come into a space that we know all the teachers there are going to be POC. Every single one. Yeah. I'm not taking white teachers for this program. Period. Not because I want to segregate, divide, but because it's time that we need to be in the front.
It's okay to say this is for us. It's really just okay. We're in a time where we're saying, no, this is for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're,
and white people can come?
Yeah, you can come, but this is for us. You created this program. I created the residency program. This is what I want to see. This is my program. This is who I know needs it. This is for us.
This is for us.
This is for us. There really is not. We're at a time with technology and people earning their own way. This is for us.
Time's up.
This is for us.
I'm over it. For us, by us, FUBU all day, every day. Solange on minds. All good energetics. Also, it's hard to be a part of the universe when fools blocking your basic humanity. Yeah. Interesting thought. Interesting thought. I think that's an interesting one, because when you connect spiritually, all of these things disappear, right? All of these different boundaries disappear. But when we come back to real life, then we're still having these very real boundaries around race and accessibility and whatnot. So it's kind of a fucked up place to be, because you're in between this place where you're like this boundless, infinite, all powerful being made by the Creator, the Most High. But then you come back down out of your meditation or out of your class, yes, and you're like, you back to this little bullshit, right? Where a motherfucker won't move off the sidewalk for you to walk. So it's a very interesting space to be navigating between. And again, I think just awareness is just always the most critical and most important thing.
And with that awareness, you know, as I'm witnessing and working alongside Angie, what I'm very clear about is that's what's creating the impulse, the drive, the intuition to create these programs.
Yes.
To make the flyer and say, hey, just show up.
Yes.
Love donation-based classes in the park.
That's spirit coming through.
That's spirit coming through. And I, you know, I'm really big, you know, I'm working with somebody and they're focusing on the isness, but Nicole, this is what it is. They're never going to change. If you stay focused in that, you will not hear.
You won't see something different.
You won't hear the inspiration to, what about a resident? What if we just did this? What if I don't want a brick and mortar?
Big facts.
But so I'm always careful with this, especially when people walk in and they see I'm a Black therapist. They're like, oh, and there's an expectation. So there have been times where even I don't know if you've ever had this. I'm just going to be 100. Put it out there. But I don't know what their expectation of Black is.
Right.
So then I'm a very...
You're talking about like a white person coming in?
No, a person of color comes in and they just expect that, you know, and there's different human experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even for me, it's like, oh, well, you're Black, so you're going to get it. But there are things I don't get. I haven't had that experience necessarily, like to the detail. Like, I'm a woman of color. I got it. But at the same time, it's just always, I like to help people just expand a little bit more to say, wow, now you appreciate this. But if you, if the next therapist you get is not a person of color, you do have a sense of what feels good to you.
Yes.
You have a new, almost a homeostasis of what you feel comfortable with. So if you get to the next therapist, they're white. Don't look at the white. Look at that.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? So if you go to the yoga studio after coming to an Afro yoga event, it's a wrap. It's over. It's game over.
Period.
But start to, don't let that piss you off so much as it nudge you and encourage you to either go to the owner and say, you know, I haven't really said anything, but
this is
what's been happening mm-hmm. for me. I don't know what your training is to your front desk, but this is where I think they could use a little brush up. This is where I think, have you tried this book? I read this book on this. That way you can, even if you have to go yes. back to your space, you don't feel disempowered.
Period. And that's the next thing. We have to be willing to call people out. I'm not letting shit ride 2020 and beyond. We're not letting shit ride no more.
Yeah.
We have to not be silent. We cannot continue to be silent and just have these experiences and have to take this shit home with us.
Because we're paying for it. In yoga, you're paying for it.
Yeah.
So if you're paying for your money is your money. You're a patron. You know, this is...
If your food don't come out right...
What you gonna do?
I'm sending it back to the kitchen in a heartbeat.
Back. So, this isn't what I asked for.
It's not what I asked for.
Hey, your marketing says you're open for everybody. Your marketing says you're for all women.
Mm-hmm.
This was my experience.
Yep, I've definitely have called people out via email on that, and sometimes it's crickets.
Yeah, but what that does for you?
Yes,
your personal sense of
speaking
empowerment,
your truth.
It's huge.
We've talked about that. Speaking your truth, regardless. Like when I got fired from that job, and I went back and I told yes. them. Nah, fuck that, but no, I don't want my job. Yeah, you gotta speak your truth. Okay, representation matters, especially when it has been so imbalancing for so long. I'm trying to tell you, for us bias all day. And we pay with our time, which is extra taxed for Black women too.
Beautiful, very real.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, yes, I wanted to give you just thoughts and feelings about this because... Look, we're all going through a lot of the same stuff, and I just wanted to give you some tools, you know what I'm saying? So look for, if you're going to go to a yoga studio, here are a few tips. Look for a POC-led class and attend those classes. Raw Yoga Center here in Sacramento, the Yoga Seed, Rebel Yell, who's owned by a Black woman. I haven't been, but I've heard good things. Those are places that you can go that I know for sure have POC teachers in them. And are working towards inclusivity and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So those are places you can go. So I suggest that when you're going somewhere, seek out those type of teachers. The most studios offer 30 days for $30. You can take some time to check it out, see if you mm-hmm. really like it. And if not, then you can go somewhere else. Seek out Afro yoga stuff, experiences. We have things coming. The residency program is on its way. Y'all motherfuckers better show up.
You better.
Because y'all talking all this shit. I better see y'all.
Everybody you see, did you hear about this event? Are you going?
Y'all better be
scared. If I can't go, you need to go.
Period. Y'all better ride. I'm telling you right now because I do this work for y'all. So y'all better ride and mm-hmm. let me know that, yes, you know, I'm trying to create this space for y'all. So y'all better show up. And, you know, continue to seek out experiences again that are led by POC. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of minutes. Ladies, I am inspired. I noticed that there was only one teacher that is POC on the website. And after some research, I found out that she's no longer even teaching there for several months. So I will definitely say something about it. Yes.
Yeah. And
can I repeat those?
Like Rihanna said, with your allies, tell them to pull up.
Period.
So, you know, if you walking out with your girlfriend and she's not a woman of color, but she says, yeah, I noticed it too.
Well, tell your white allies to pull the fuck up because they need to do the calling out just as much as we do. And it's a lot of times more impactful when they do it, unfortunately. Just saying. Raw Yoga Center in Oak Park. You have the Yoga Seed on 14th and E. And you have Rebel Yell in West Sacramento. So that said, we will talk more next week. We're going to be talking about Kemetic Yoga next week more. We have our yoga retreat coming, y'all.
Yes.
In June.
Come.
Mexico.
Come hang out.
Come chill. Come vibe. We're going to have 5 days, 4 nights of amazingness. I just redid the retreat page, so go check it out.
It's beautiful.
Afroyoga.org/yoga-retreats. It's on our website. We are shifting to a comedic yoga retreat.
Oh.
Y'all know I am playing with this.
Yes.
And all plant-based meals, a beautiful 7-story villa, and I just created a retreat guide for you to download, so you can check out the behind the scenes and what we're going to be up to for those days and the itinerary. It's
beautiful.
Thank you. We love you. Nicole will be there doing her mental health thing.
Yes.
And we are grateful for you. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you
for listening, for sharing our information.